great guys. Come to visit somebody at the hospital. I can't remember who it was. And the situation. And so I got to introduce him to a couple people he encountered, a couple of my co-workers and everything. And everyone was just so blessed by you have such a presence and your care. And it's just a small picture of who you are and what you do. So thank you.
All right. So, fun fact. Pastor Emmett over here was my Sunday school teacher at some point in my life.
Yeah.
Maybe I was like 10 or something. So you go way back. So I'm a little nervous here, and I'm going to ask a favor and shake things up a bit for y'all here. I'm not used to speaking to an auditorium. This is kind of intimidating with all these chairs. And I realize maybe some of you need to be close to the exit, but for those who feel led, would you guys mind filling the front row up for me? It would really just, it'd be a blessing, it'd be a gift. You don't have to if you don't want to, but, yeah, getting the nerves out, you know, it's just like, I'm hanging out with family. Just hanging out with my family here. It's not an auditorium. There's not a video camera there. People aren't watching me online. Hallelujah. Yeah, finally I can spit on you guys. You guys are close enough. See, I want to be like, something about William Wise is that he would always sit in the front row. Like, nearly every message, every sermon, you'd see this guy in the front row. It was his spot. It was his place. And couldn't take it from him. And then we have Alex here who's just hanging out. Thank you, Alex. See you guys in the front row. So, I don't have that long. I got 15 minutes. But a little bit about me. I've been in California for a while. I grew up in this church. Pastor Jim and Brenda right here are like second parents, and there's so many parents in this church, so to speak, that I kind of grew up with. So it's a little bit about me and just what this place means to me. I grew up in it. So it's an honor and a gift to be able to share tonight and just, to share God's heart. A lot of you know that we lost Isaac not this last Friday, and God's been talking to me about it, as I'm sure he's been talking to you guys about it as well. So the topic of what I was going to share today came up in the service while my uncle was sharing, and this verse popped in my head as he was sharing. I just want to give it to you guys. It says in Hebrews 12:2, that first chapter, the first verse talks about the great cloud of witnesses. And so I imagine that Isaac is up there as one of our witnesses to, right now he's probably watching. But it says in verse 2, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'm going to just reread that real quick. Can someone read Hebrews 12:1 through 2. This is going to be a little bit more interactive. Pastor Jim, do you have it there? Could you read that out loud to us real quick?
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
the part that stood out to me is just that joy. That for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. He endured suffering. He endured crucifixion. And he endured all the trials and the tribulations of that week leading up to his crucifixion. For the joy that lay before him. And so I've heard it said in different circles about people talk about the joy of the Lord being our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's a phrase that gets passed around. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as I was listening to this, the service for Isaac, I just got this settled in my spirit, in my soul, that the joy of the Lord is my strength in this situation. That the joy of the Lord is my sister's strength. That the joy of the Lord is my father's strength, my mother's strength. That for Isaac's father, Mark, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's beautiful we got to sing about joy to the world, but what does joy mean? What is joy in the midst of suffering? What is joy in the midst of a trial? And it's not earthly. The joy of the Lord isn't the joy of this world. I'm not happy. I'm not, it says the definition of joy is emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying, keen pleasure or elation. I'm not happy right now. I'm not happy. There's no pleasure. I'm not elated. I'm not content. And that's okay. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I just wanted to share that with everyone who's watching and with this family, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not earthly. It's not based on circumstance. And it's not definable according to earthly standards. It's otherworldly joy. The joy of the Lord is an attribute of God. It's an attribute of the Comforter and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our Comforter, and He is with us in suffering, and He is with us in any trial that we face. There's a quote that Rick Warren said, "What is the spiritual meaning of joy? Joy is a choice." Rick Warren gave us this definition of joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. I don't have to be happy to have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, where it's mentioned, it's actually in Nehemiah. The word for strength can also be stronghold. So actually, I can, as a believer in Christ, I can actually go into a stronghold, a fortress, a protected place of joy, that the enemy has no place in my heart. He has no place to attack me in my soul. I can actually find a covering in joy. I can actually hide in joy. The kingdom of God What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy that can't be touched. It's otherworld. It's not earthly. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on Him. It's dependent on God. And we get full access through Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy that lay before Him. He wasn't elated that He was going to suffer, but He had an otherworldly thing called the joy of the Lord. He knew who His Father was, and He knew the outcome. I had a kind of side conversation with Mark. We were just, talking about the events that transpired, and we're supposed to act different. That was something that came up. These situations, the trials and the sorrow and the grief, and the reason why we're supposed to act different is because of the joy of the Lord. Because we have this strong hope to go to, because we have a firm foundation and a rock that we set our fix on, our gaze on. We have this hope. We have this belief. I'm going to see Isaac. I'm going to see my loved ones again one day. That the reality of this physical world is passing. But that there's a reality far above what's happening on this level that I, for all of eternity, will live in. I'm going to be living for all of eternity someday, whether it's a day from now, a year from now, 50 years from now. I don't know. God set my time. But I'll be able to experience that, the fullness of joy in heaven with Isaac. I'll be dancing with him. We're going to get down. We're going to get jiggy, man. We're going to have so much fun. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I thank God that I had just a moment with him. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. As I was just thinking about the joy of the Lord, I thought about people who carry the joy of the Lord that I've met and have impacted me in my life. And just one of them, for anyone who, I guess, I'm going to just give you guys who you might know, it's Susan Kelly. Man, that lady carries the joy of the Lord. And it's not dependent on her circumstances. It's not dependent on what's going on around her. But
she has set her heart, her soul, her spirit is so focused on the Lord that she's content in Him. That no matter what is shaking around her, she won't be shaken because she has this stronghold of joy. She could choose to be bitter. She could choose for her heart to be hardened. We could all do that in different circumstances in our life, but she actually chooses the joy of the Lord and carries it and walks it out, and people see that and they want it. People see the joy of the Lord in that woman and they want it. And they realize there's something different about her. If you guys all know Susan, maybe y'all can shake your head. If you don't, that's okay. But she carries the joy of the Lord in such a way that the people in her workplace, they want it. They don't understand it. It's otherworldly. So I just want to, I want that. Honestly, that's one of the, joy is one of the reasons that I came to Christ. Part of my testimony is that my life was changed when I went to an orphanage and I went to another people, another nation, and I witnessed people who had nothing, but they had joy. their circumstances, you had these kids who had been abandoned, yet they had joy. You had people with utter, like, in poverty, yet they had joy. They had the joy of the Lord. It was wild, guys, wild. And we have full access to that joy through the Comforter, through the Holy Spirit. Can someone, real quick, what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Mom, go ahead. Say it out loud. Oh, you loud. She's loud. I'll just repeat that for y'all. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're going to have those. You have full access to those because you have full access to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, at any given time, no matter the situation, no matter if you're in prison, no matter if all hell is coming at you, you have access to those things. So yeah. Wow. I think my time is up, but I just want to, let's just pray real quick. I'm going to just pray for everyone here, and we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to impart the joy of the Lord in this season for all of us. So Holy Spirit Comforter, we thank you that you abide within us. We thank you that when we accepted you, Christ, that we have actually full access to you, Holy Spirit, that you actually said that it was better that you leave so he could come, so the Holy Spirit could come and abide within us, the Comforter could come. And so we ask you, Comforter, to come impart the joy of the Lord, for every heart here, for every situation, whether it's family or the workplace or loneliness, whatever the situation is, God, I ask that you would impart otherworldly joy for every single one of us. And I ask that you would make it our stronghold and our strength in this season, God. And we just ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You have a little product placement on your computer there. You're selling something that says, he's selling Epic Beef Jerky. So they're sponsoring.
Get your bison meat.
Get your bison. Oh, I love that guy. Isn't he great? I think I'm going to scrap what I was thinking of sharing tonight, because I don't feel like in any way altering the spirit that is here with us, what the Spirit of God has for us. I'll tell you what I was prepared to talk about. I was going to do something kind of cute and look at the theology that is expressed in one of my favorite Christmas songs, and that is O Holy Night. I think it's one of the best theological Christmas songs, and it's beautiful. And I think I just want to continue with what Nathaniel was sharing there. It was so sweet and perfect and spot on. Oh, before I do that, though, I have an announcement. You're invited, Christmas Eve service at Living Grace Church, Saturday, December 24th, 6 p.m. There will be a play, a worship, and a message. We'll have special activities, special kids activities as well. So come on. It's going to be a great time. It's not often that I don't remember that we've ever had an occasion to have this a Christmas Eve service like this, a candle night, candlelight service, and so I'm really looking forward to it. Plus, I'm going to be George Bailey in the play, so your sermon tonight will be in the voice of Jimmy Stewart. Mr. Parm. Okay. But what Nathaniel was sharing, God bless those words. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would continue with us and minister to us. And Lord, that you would fill us with joy, fill us with peace and love in your life. And so just continue to bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share something with you. And, you know, you talked about the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's been so many occasions with patients in the hospital as a chaplain going bedside where, you know, I've talked to people about, you know, and they're feeling really down about their situations, and oftentimes it's moral distress. You're caring for somebody who's really feeling distressed in a moral way about their life, and wanting God and trying to reach out to God, not knowing how this is, you know, how to find God for their situation or to find God's love or find God's grace. And there's been so many occasions where I've got to share with them some of the things that I have received myself. And one of the great sermons that I ever heard in my life was from Carl Stevens, who preached, "Just Let God Love You." Boy, I have never forgotten that. I have it on my phone right now. I could listen to it at any moment in the car if I wanted to. Just let God love you. He talked about, do you know what your first need is? It's to let God love you. And then he said, do you know what your second need is? It's to let God love you. And it was just such a profound message for me. And there's been so many occasions where I've got to share with people that the strength of their lives never was their own love, but it was God's love for them. Because our love has, our experience has its ups and downs, right? We don't, and even on our best days, by the way, we fall pretty far short of Christ, right? But it's his love toward us. It's his righteousness in us. It's his life and his spirit that fills us. And it's his love toward us that was the strength of our lives all along. When I'm not doing so well, it's his love for me that doesn't change. My love for him has better days and worse days. You know, I think I can confess that before you without too much embarrassment. I think we all are in this boat together. But God's love toward us, this is, I think, in line with what Nathaniel was sharing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And isn't it wonderful? We have a God who has given us this gospel that is filled with joy, acknowledges the suffering of life, but is filled with joy. He continually ministers joy to us. It comes up over and over and over again, this idea of joy. I mean, you think about that. A person writing, trying to write their own theological treatise could leave joy out of it and just talk about righteousness or just talk about all these different, you know, whatever different things and leave joy out of it. But God did not. He filled his gospel with joy, and he fills us with his joy. And so I want to read something from the Gospel of John and chapter 15, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And then I'm going to flip over to 1 John chapter 4. So, Pastor Mitch, if you had found that slide, I'm not going to need it, but thank you. And Roberta, we're still going to need you to sing this. I'm just kidding. I had asked if somebody could sing "O Holy Night." I certainly can't sing that song. There was one time, was it a year ago? Man, has it already been a year since we did the Christmas